It's a Wednesday, and you know what that means. It's time now for Supernatural News and Parashare. And for that, we bring in the co-hostess with the mostest. We call her, I almost said we call her the Beast from the East. We don't do that. Oh, that would be horrible. No, I'm sorry. It's Miss Mally Fox. How you doing, Mally?
I'm good. I would be Midwest still, though, I think.
No,
I
know.
Michigan's still Midwest, isn't it?
It is Midwest, but you're East from me. That's,
How about the best from the Midwest?
There you go. The best from the Midwest. I like that. Yeah, we'll go with that. You've got a new moniker. Now, we should explain it. And keep in mind, I love you. I love Bruiser. I love Jessica. I love you all the same. I'm being the parent here that's being equal in his standing. I have to explain to people because they get people asking, well, where's Bruiser? Where's Bruiser? We've explained it on the program before. I have an update on Bruiser in that his house, and we mentioned this last week a little bit, has undergone some flooding, and it's so bad, as a matter of fact. And we'll get into specifics. I'll let him describe it when he gets back. He's had some issues with Papa Bruiser. By the way, we want to keep the prayers going for Papa Bruiser. As he's described on the program before, Papa Bruiser has some issues with cholesterol around his heart. And the update on Papa Bruiser is that the medication is not working the way it's supposed to. Mm-hmm. So he's now walking with a cane. He can't take the medication. And so we need those prayers, that good energy, those good thoughts to keep going for Papa Bruiser. He's in Arizona. So keep that going. That's update number one. Update number two was Bruiser, Mrs. Bruiser were having some work done in their house. It was just some light work where they were supposed to do some rerouting of a simple water line. And it's literally a simple water line for a refrigerator. But as you know, that water line, if it's crimped, can flood the entire house. Well, I'm trying to be diplomatic here, Mally.
Mm-hmm.
The person who did the work, let's just say, was not paying good attention and brought in a crimped line and flooded the house all the way down to the subfloors. This is big stuff. I mean, if you could have seen how warped these floors were, they tore everything apart in the house. And they brought out a restoration company. Now, when you bring out a restoration company, Mally, that's some big time work.
Mm-hmm.
And fortunately, the people who came out and installed the refrigerator, their insurance will pick up the majority, if not all of it, but it goes on the homeowner's insurance first. So there's a lot of headaches involved and a lot of work and time involved. In fact, it's up to another month before Bruiser comes back. So in the meantime, we've got Miss Mally Fox, which I'm ecstatic about. And we've got Jessica as well. And we'll have Uncle Bob come in from time to time as well. So we've got a full battalion on hand, on slate. So I'm happy. I'm happy, and I hope you're happy as well. So we got plenty of talent on deck. It's not like we're lacking here on the show. So there you go. We got a big show ahead, Mally.
Mm-hmm.
We're talking alien sex today. Yeah, I know. Well, we got some freaks in the audience, too. I mean,
I know, but it just seems like every time we talk about alien sex, it's very rough. They're not gentle creatures.
No, I think this might be a little gentle today.
Okay.
Because now we're talking about the amount of people who have had it. Today, this evidently is a phenomenon. Oh, I had no idea. It's a phenomenon. I had no idea, Mally. But that's a story that's coming up today. Also, in the nightmare fuel section, there's a huge warning out there that, as far as a super intelligence alert, an expert warns of an uncontrollable risk or risks. They're calling it a potential existential catastrophe. Now, I hate to sound the alarm. I've been pretty positive the last couple of weeks as far as AI mm-hmm. goes. I may have to take a negative turn this week. I'm just saying. And then we've got plenty of spooky stories as well. Lots of ghost stories today.
Cool.
And some Bigfoot stories.
Okay.
And much, much
haven't
more.
Talked about Bigfoot for a while.
That's right. So we've got Bigfoot on tap today as well. So let's start it out on the alien front. We're not going to, talk about the wow, chicka, wow, wow first. We're going to ease into that, if you will.
Ah, yeah. At least someone's easing into it.
You know, hey, I got to give you one of those. A mysterious humanoid was found with slanted eyes and an elongated skull likened to an alien. This is what they're saying. A mysterious fetus has been discovered in Colombia, but scientists believe that it could be an alien or tiny humanoid from a civilization that lived on Earth many years ago. A mysterious alien-shaped baby, that's in quotes, could belong to a tiny alien or ancient human race. The curious little being, possibly an alien or pint-sized humanoid civilization, is said to have been discovered in Colombia. The so-called alien creature sports a stretched-out skull, slanted eyes, and what seems like a ridge of bone on its head. Alien researcher Joseph Guijarro received the pictures from someone claiming to have discovered it. He is keen to stay cautious about calling this find an extraterrestrial, noting instead that it looks to be curled up like it passed away while still a fetus. Furthermore, he pointed out its apparent umbilical cord, which you'd usually expect to see in mammals here on Earth. I do have a picture of this thing, Mally. Here's a... You make the call, Mal.
Ew, that's weird looking.
It is.
Looks like there's a fish on top of a human body.
Yeah, it does, doesn't it? It's mm-hmm. It's got a very odd shape to it. I tell you what, I think I'll post this in the description of the show so you can take a look for yourself and you can make the call. Alien or human fetus? But counting the ribs, the investigator found the creature had 10 on each side, which makes it even more curious. That's two less than we humans normally have. It left him thinking that it might be a mammal's fetus with certain genetic misshaping. Mr. Guijarro then drew a link between his Colombian find and another peculiar character known as Atta. Atta was a small being unearthed in an old church in Chile's Atacama Desert in 2003. It was uncovered by Oscar Munoz, who subsequently sold the tiny body to Spanish businessman and researcher Ramon Navia Osorio Villar. Even though the skeleton isn't thought to be extraterrestrial, Mr. Navia Osorio speculated it may be from a miniature humanoid population who many years ago shared South America with the Aymara people. DNA tests on the skeleton in 2018 suggest it was a human female fetus with unusual mutations linked to dwarfism and scoliosis. But an international research team led by bioarchaeology professor, I believe this is Sean Hulcrow, disputed this claim. They stated that as experts in human anatomy and skeletal development, we find no evidence for any skeletal anomalies claimed by the authors. Mr. Navia Osorio said, we received it at the Spanish Royal Academy of Sciences, and there we carried out the first X-ray with low radiation so as to not damage the specimen. They already told us that they did not know what it was. The head was so voluminous, the hands were so elongated, it had no kneecaps, and the clavicle was more triangular than that of humans. So I started to worry. How could we have a human fetus if it had calluses on its feet? That's a good question.
Yeah.
Yeah. This creature was not extraterrestrial, it was terrestrial. The researcher believes Atta does not come from outer space, but rather coexisted with humans many years ago. He explained there were very small people who lived in caves and only came out at night, hence its strange almond-shaped eyes. A native friend from the Aymara tribe told me that these beings used to live with their ancestors before the Spanish settlers arrived. Following the latest discovery in Colombia, one local commented, "It's very similar to the Atacama being. Surely it's an intraterrestrial species that still loves or lives among us. May love among us too. You just don't want to, you know, you want to sleep with one eye open, I'm sure, you know." Eric chimed in saying, "It is the same as the one found in Atacama." Ariel added, "We look forward to receiving more information." So there you go. One down, Mally, and we've already got a strange and unusual story to start us off. So there you go. Another strange and eerie story. You know, we've talked before on the show about UFO clout.
Mm-hmm.
Have you seen one? I know I've asked you this before.
No, I've never. I don't think I've ever seen one.
Okay. I know I've talked about this many times before, driving from the Las Vegas airport up to the Goldfield Hotel. I saw one out the passenger side of the window driving up there. And simply put, a UFO cloud is just a singular cloud in a blue sky that is very low hanging. In fact, I can show you a picture of what it looks like. It looks kind of like that, Mal.
Okay.
Okay. And it looks like it's disguising a craft. It's just an oval-shaped cloud, and it's a small one, and it will follow you for the longest time. And it looks like mm-hmm. something may be hiding behind it.
Okay.
And it's on a clear day, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Well, it turns out that NASA shares some eerie pictures of clouds linked to UFOs that can be seen from space. And these unusual UFO clouds are hanging out in clusters. I just showed Mally the picture.
Mm-hmm.
NASA has shared a photo of a chain of eerie UFO-shaped clouds off the coast of Florida that left locals stunned, but scientists have revealed there's a simple explanation for it. The strange clouds, which look a little bit like jellyfish or UFO, were seen just northwest of the Florida Keys. A group of men fishing off Key West back in January were stunned as they captured a video of the bizarre-looking clouds. Taking to TikTok to share the clip, one of the men panned the camera towards the sky and zoomed in on the circular shapes in the sky and said, "Bro," because they do that a lot in Florida.
Right.
"Bro, look at these clouds. What's going on? What is that?" It's like a missing puzzle piece or something, another person could be heard saying as they pointed to a large round hole in the cloud. The video was set to spooky music from Netflix's hit sci-fi show Stranger Things, because you want to get, you know, oh, wow, there's the video of it. Here, Mal, I'm going to show you the video. Take a look at that. Are you seeing the jellyfish-like UFOs?
Oh, yeah.
Isn't that something?
Mm-hmm.
That's something, too.
Yeah, they just kind of pop down from the larger cloud.
Yeah. That's interesting. I know that's a heck of a play-by-play by both of us, but, you know, you just have to trust us on that one. It's audio. But scientists have now explained what these clouds really are. In late January, NASA's Terra satellite also took a photo of the Cavum clouds, C-A-V-U-M, from above. The U.S. Space Agency, who shared the picture last week, said that these particular or peculiar clouds sometimes make people think they've spotted a UFO. I think this is one of those wink and a nod things, Mal.
Mm-hmm.
For nearly 70 years, scientists didn't know what caused Cavum clouds, which are also known as hole punch clouds or fall streak holes. Hmm. But in 20,
I like the hole punch cloud name.
Yeah, I do too. Yeah, I have a friend who I went to college with who actually works. She was working with CNN for the longest time as a meteorologist. Her name's Jackie mm-hmm. Jarris. But I think she now works for the Weather Channel. I'll have to ask her about this. But in 2010, weather experts finally cracked the case. They found out that these odd shapes were created when planes fly through altocumulus clouds. These are small, patchy clouds that form at about 7,000 to 23,000 feet up in the sky. University Corporation for Atmospheric Research, or UCAR, went on to say. They run the National Science Foundation's Center for Studying the Atmosphere, and they discovered the secret of the Cavum clouds. So they claim they're small, patchy clouds. They form between 7 and 23,000 feet up in the sky. Airplanes punch those holes in those clouds. They learned that these mid-level altocumulus clouds are made of very pure water vapor that are super cooled. This means that it hasn't turned into ice, even though those tiny droplets floating in the air are freezing 15 degrees below Celsius. You do the math. I'm not a Celsius Fahrenheit guy. They used information from plane flight, satellite observations, and weather models to understand the process. When a plane's wings or propellers move, they change the pressure around those droplets. This causes something called, it looks like a diabetic expansion. I have one of those all the time when I eat. But it's adiabatic, I believe is what it is, expansion in the swirling air, breaking the delicate conditions that kept the vapor liquid. NASA's Earth Observatory spotted the unique formation off the coast of the Florida Keys on January 30th of 2024 and posted the satellite photo as their image of the day. So there you go. It's not quite a UFO.
But it's cool looking.
It is cool looking. And it does look like you're being invaded. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, there you go. Let's move on. A famed UFO reporter is putting skeptics on blast with a defiant final act, Mel.
Okay.
In other words, I think he's gone to the great beyond. Lee Spiegel, who died last August, got astronauts and the UN talking about the search for intelligent life in the universe. And friends and family are preparing a final tribute in space. When Lee Spiegel arrived in New York City in the early 1970s, there was a word for people who reported seeing a UFO. Now, brace yourself, folks. It's not very nice. It's kind of derogatory. That word is kooks. Told you it wasn't.
That's like
nice.
Something our grandparents would say. I haven't heard that name in a long time.
I know, right? Yeah, it's not very nice. The world that this 74-year-old man left behind on August 14th after a battle with esophageal cancer has vastly changed. Politicians, scientists, and law enforcement officials are no longer laughing at those who say they've witnessed an unexplained phenomenon. Just weeks after Spiegel's death, military whistleblowers testified before a congressional committee claiming that the government has secretly retrieved and reverse-engineered unidentified flying objects. And though the Pentagon denied those claims, it soon unveiled a website devoted to sightings of unidentified flying objects. As 2023 drew to a close, Congress ordered all files on UFOs, now classified as UAPs, released within 25 years, so long as there was no Oval Office objection. These are files that government officials barely acknowledged in years past, and information that Spiegel and other UFO investigators spent their lives in search of. NASA still maintains that there's no proof UFOs are the work of extraterrestrials, but it's a conversation that they can no longer ignore. To be sure, no single person could take credit for shifting public opinion, but Spiegel's contributions over his 60-year career stand out. He is, but rather, renowned as the first person to organize and host a conference at the United Nations on UFOs, attended by dignitaries from around the world. So Lee Spiegel is a pretty big guy in the UFO world, in case you didn't know. Lee sought out interviews with military officers, commercial airline pilots, and the best sources he could find. These people put their credibility on the line when they claimed they saw something in the sky that defied explanation, said Buck Wolf, director of Huffington Post Trends, who also worked with Spiegel at ABC News. Do you remember seeing Lee Spiegel on ABC News? I do. I remember him as a reporter over there, yeah. Lee might also be the only UFO writer and researcher from his generation to make the jump into mainstream journalism. At NBC Radio, ABC News, and Huffington Post, his colleagues looked at him with skepticism and amusement, but he also earned their respect, according to Wolf. Wolf and Spiegel's widow, Lorraine Simone, raised more than $10,000 from friends, family, and admirers for one final tribute to Spiegel. They want to send Spiegel's cremated ashes into space. His remains will be loaded onto a SpaceX Falcon 9 rocket scheduled for launch on March 4th. Oh, so that was just recently at Vandenberg Space Force Base in Southern California. Spiegel's ashes will circle the Earth every 90 minutes at roughly 17,000 miles per hour on a mission slated to last 2 to 3 years and will burn up upon reentry like a shooting star, said Dan Peabody, who's the CEO of Beyond Burials, the company administering Spiegel's funeral service. Star Trek creator Gene Roddenberry, along with original cast members James Doohan and Nichelle Nichols, noted astronomer Clyde Tombaugh, and who is best known for discovering Pluto, and 1960s counterculture hero Timothy Leary were among those who have had space funerals. I got to stop and ask this question, Mally. I know we've talked about it before. Would you want your ashes shot up into space and burned up upon reentry?
No, thank you, but my dad does.
Really?
Yep. I told him that my brother could just shoot up a firecracker because he likes to do 4th of July in his backyard, and we'll just attach his ashes to one of the fireworks.
So he wants to go up in a firework mortar and just be blown up.
Yeah. Well, he would like to go outer space, but we'll go halfway.
You'll go halfway. So do you want one of the big booms that doesn't have any firework behind it, or do you want one of the big awesome ones with?
Oh, let's make it pretty. So we'll do the big awesome ones. Okay. All right. As his ashes fall down on us like the rappers.
Now, would you be afraid he'd come back and haunt you because you really didn't send him into space? Like, he'd be like, oh, that was a shitty firework.
No, my dad doesn't believe in ghosts, so I think I'm okay.
Okay, well, there you go. So you think you'd get away with it?
Yeah. Oh, he'd find the humor. He knows me. My mom would be like, hey, if it's cheaper than a normal funeral, let's do it.
I love it. You guys are clipping coupons for the fireworks, guys.
Well, my mom wants to be turned into a piece of jewelry, like a diamond. You know how you can do the ashes into diamonds? And I'm like, Mom, I would lose you in like a day. I lose anything of value.
One of the pups would eat it, I'm sure.
Yeah, and I'm checking the yard for the diamond.
I could just see mom's lost as a diamond, dad's up there somewhere as a mortar, probably stuck in a tree. I'm sure it would go horribly. My parents, I don't know, I'd probably end up just sitting them out in the yard somewhere in a lawn chair. I don't think I'd have the money. They just end up, you know, the kids would ask why our grandma and grandpa decaying out at the pool. I'd just be like, just let the squirrels eat them. It's not a big deal. Anyone who knew Lee knows he wanted to get into space somehow, especially after William Shatner did it, said Simone. I'm sure Lee is somewhere enjoying all this immensely. Shatner, who portrayed the legendary Captain Kirk on Star Trek, was 90 when he became the oldest man to voyage into space on a 2021 Blue Origin launch. In addition to the space funeral, Spiegel's friends and family organized and shipped his massive archive of taped interviews and case files to the National UFO Historical Records Center in Rio Rancho, New Mexico. Commander Alan Palmer, a retired Air Force and Navy combat aviator, now serves as CEO and executive director at the National Atomic Testing Museum in Las Vegas. He thinks Spiegel's work is worthy of further study. Palmer consulted with Spiegel in 2013 when creating the museum's Area 51 exhibit. Area 51 is the now famous top secret site set up by the CIA and Air Force in 1955, which looms large in UFO lore. So there you go. Lee Spiegel is leaving his legacy behind, not just shooting himself into space, but leaving his legacy behind. And his widow is helping to do that. So it's kind of a cool little story for Supernatural News today. Yeah, I remember Lee Spiegel on ABC News as a kid. I was kind of a weird kid, though. I won the current events contest here in Minnesota like 2 years in a row.
Wow.
Yeah. And then people beat me up for my lunch money. So that was fun. Yeah, that was good. So our next story, Mally, before we go to break, is kind of the sexy one. I think I should I bring up the music? It's one of those things where you're going to want to brace yourself, kids, because here's the deal. I think I have the music right here, as a matter of fact.
Come on!
No, that's not the music right there. That's the music I use when I'm... Yeah, there we go. There's the music. I generally start off with a timer, and then I play this. That's how I get them in the mood, Mel.
That was awesome.
That's how I get them in the mood. That's the magic right there, Mel. I don't need a waterbed or anything. I just give them a timer, and then I give them... Yeah. 1 in 50 Brits reckon that they've been abducted by UFOs and had intergalactic sex.
Dang, 1 in 50?
Yeah. Yeah, we'll get rid of that music. I don't think we need that to get the aliens in the mood. Brits reckon, I love how they use the word reckon in here, that they've been beamed up for out-of-this-world romps with aliens after claiming extraterrestrials abducted and probed them. According to a new poll.
Wow.
Yeah. 1 in 50 of them reckon that they've been abducted and probed by little green men. Now, is probing the same as enjoying?
I don't think so. It sounds worse.
Yeah, it does. A poll of 2,000 Brits found that 2% said that they believed that they had been beamed onto a spaceship by aliens and used for out-of-this-world galactic or intergalactic sex. There's a difference, you know. With an adult population of around 58 million, that works out to just under 1.2 million people.
Jeez.
Wow. The majority of those who said that they had been taken by Martians said that they had a vague recollection of the event, but reckoned their memories were wiped before they had been beamed back to planet Earth. There's actually a very funny picture of a woman enjoying it, too, in this article. Of the 2% who said they, again, the word reckoned, they had been abducted, 62% said they thought they had been used in a sex study by ET. The study found that Brummies were the most likely to be abducted. What's a Brummie?
I have no idea. Is it a region that they're in?
Maybe. With 6%, somebody will email me and say, you dummy, here's what a Brummie is.
Yeah.
Yeah. With 6% saying they believe that they'd been beamed onto a UFO. Joe Wood, the ex-wife of Rolling Stones legend Ronnie Wood, reckons that she's been abducted by extraterrestrials. This should be good. She said that she's seen 3 UFOs in her time, once in Brazil, once in France, and once while traveling in an airplane, and that she thought she'd been abducted during one of the encounters. Speaking previously, she said, I wouldn't be surprised if I have been abducted by aliens, but had my memory wiped. I've often dreams of me floating and flying just by myself and getting higher and higher. Maybe that was me being abducted and beamed down. Other celebs who've had encounters include Puff Daddy. That doesn't shock me.
Oh, really?
No. Robbie Williams and Kim Wilde. P. Diddy said he saw a spaceship in Florida, adding, I met aliens in Florida. I saw them from afar, but we communicated. Robbie Williams said if P. Diddy met aliens, kids, cover your ears. He would have fucked the shit out of them. I'm just saying, they wouldn't have got a hold of him. He would have got a hold of them.
I was thinking illegal aliens if he's in Florida.
Probably you're right, Mel. Yeah. Robbie Williams said he saw a massive UFO while in L.A. Singer Kim Wilde said she saw an alien spaceship in her garden. And Joe Wood said she has seen 3 UFOs. Paul O'Grady said in 2018 that he saw a UFO hovering above his farmhouse in Kent. Speaking in 2020, TV's Gemma Collins said she'd love to be abducted by aliens and would happily bonk one and call their baby Chromatica.
Is that the girl from something Essex?
I think it might be.
I forget the show. Something Essex.
I think you're right. I might be. She said, I want to experience having sex with an alien. I hope I end up with the aliens and have a little alien baby. Be careful what you wish for.
Yeah.
Jessica Leone, a spokesman for Illicit Encounters, said, it turns out that if you're living in the West Midlands, you might want to make sure you're carrying a spare tinfoil hat, as you never know when you might be the next lucky participant in an intergalactic meet and greet. Who needs a pickup line, she says, when you can be picked up by a flying saucer. So there you go, Mally. A little intergalactic hookup.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. I'll skip it. I think I'm good.
Yeah.
I we all got a little freak in us, but I don't want that kind of freak in me, if you know what I mean. So there you go. So with that, we'll go to break. I'll let your minds wander while we do that. And when we come back, China's AI supermind is a real headache as it's about to exploit some British names for espionage. We'll talk about that in our Nightmare Fuel segment. We've got plenty of spooky stories on the way, including, well, we'll put it this way. We've got one story so scary, Mally, it's especially scary for parents, that a horrified dad watched an eerie ghost arm reach into his son's bed on a baby monitor. Yeah, we'll talk about that when we get back. And we've got some Bigfoot stories today as well. So that's all coming up right after the break. It's a Supernatural News Wednesday. And by the way, we need your parashare stories. You can do that in two ways. Email me, tim@darknessradio.com, or you can go to darknessradioshow.com. On the right-hand side, there's a blue button. You can leave your 2-minute voice note. Just click on that blue button and do so. If you need more time, click on it again. You can get 2 more minutes. I'll stitch them together. We can air your lovely voice right here on the show. That's how you leave us your Parashare. But it's a Supernatural News and Parashare Wednesday right here on the Best in Paranormal Podcasting. You're listening to Darkness Radio. Welcome back to the Best in Supernatural and Paranormal Podcasting. This is Darkness Radio. I'm your host, Tim Dennis. Right over there is the best from the Midwest, Mally Fox. It's a Supernatural News Wednesday, and it's also that time once again to get a little scary in a different way, Mally. It's time to talk technology. It's time to talk about China. You know, China has taken advantage of AI in a completely different way, whereas we've tried to exploit technology and use it for somewhat the better. China's AI supermind is a real headache. And I'm not talking about Mally's migraine that she suffered through today. Sorry, Mel.
It's okay. It's the weather.
Yeah. Yeah, I had that yesterday with my joints. It was horrible. China's AI supermind is a real headache as it will exploit British names for espionage. A Chinese supercomputer is set to take over the country's tech capabilities past that of the United States by 2030, and it will be capable of using British names for espionage missions. What do I mean by that? Well, here's what I mean. An expert has since labeled the plans as a headache for members of the public, as they may find their names and profile used as the supercomputer collects data from millions of people. Allegedly set to track scientists across the Western world and pool their resources to give China the technological edge, the AI could set its sights on nefarious missions and espionage, according to Professor Anthony Glees. No, not the guy who was singing on the TV a couple seasons ago, but Anthony Glees. Splashing out more than £220 million on the tech device, China is seemingly set to edge out Western powers and paint itself as the top of the tech pile, but doing so will cause some major issues for UK citizens. Speaking to the Daily Star, Professor Glee said, "Supermind will not only give the Chinese masses of data about who's who and where they are in the UK, but it also gives them a whole list of possible false identities and English names to exploit for espionage purposes. The computer will tell them whom to target, but also allow English names and identities to be used to contact potential informants via email. There may even be subcategories for members of the public and, more worryingly, politicians and people in positions of power. There may be a B for British team, even a BB for Brexit Britain team," Professor Glees warned. So far, the Supermind project is allegedly capable of pulling thousands upon thousands of research patents and papers from public access, combining them all to create a scientific route potentially undiscovered by humans. An insider claimed they are building a database of who's who in different areas. For example, if you ask it, "I need five particular experts in this area who are top talents," then you approach them all. Should it work, China has the capability to disintegrate Britain, Professor Glee said. Add this database to LinkedIn, which I've pointed out is a massive intel asset to all our enemies and potential enemies, and the prospect is even greater as far as interference by China in our disintegrating Britain looms large. Kevin Gamache, the chief research security officer at Texas A&M University, echoed the worries in an earlier report, adding, "It's going to allow China to make much better decisions. It could be identifying technologies that aren't apparent on the surface. They're going to use it to conduct targeted recruitment or to place people in specific labs to gain access to knowledge and technology that is not yesterday's technology, but tomorrow's or even the next decade's technology." Interesting. Well, this points out just targeting Britain, but I can imagine that that computer would target America as well.
Mm-hmm, exactly.
Yeah. Scary stuff. Our next article about AI... is right along the same lines. Just saying that we're on AI super intelligence alert. An expert warns of uncontrolled risks, calling it a potential, or calling it a potential AI existential catastrophe. A recent study by an AI safety expert and associate professor at the University of Louisville, Mally. Ah. Louisville. Dr. Roman V. Yampolsky. Wow, that's a name. Cast a long shadow over the future of AI or artificial intelligence and the development of inherently uncontrollable AI superintelligence. In his latest book, AI Unexplainable, Unpredictable, Uncontrollable, there aren't enough uns in that book name, exactly. I'll tell you that.
Yeah. I'm uninterested.
Wow! Dr. Yampolsky says that based on an extensive review of the latest scientific literature, there's no evidence that AI can be safely controlled, challenging the foundation of AI advancement and the direction of future technologies. He warns, without proof that AI can be controlled, it should not be developed. We're facing an almost guaranteed event with potential to cause an existential catastrophe, Dr. Yampolsky said in a statement issued by publisher Taylor and Francis. No wonder many consider this to be the most important problem humanity has ever faced. The outcome could be prosperity or extinction, and the fate of the universe hangs in the balance. Dr. Yampolsky is an expert in AI safety, has highlighted the dangers of uncontrollable AI for over a decade, emphasizing the existential threat that it could present to humanity. In a 2018 paper, Dr. Yampolsky and co-author Michael Trazzi said Achilles' heels, or artificial stupidity, should be introduced to prevent AI systems from becoming dangerous. For example, AI should be prevented from being able to access and modify its own source code. That's a good idea. Last summer, in an article for Nautilus, Dr. Yampolsky and public policy attorney Tam Hunt described building AI superintelligence as being riskier than Russian roulette. It's a pretty powerful statement. Mm-hmm. Once AI is able to improve itself, it will quickly become much more smarter than us on almost every aspect of intelligence, than 1,000 times smarter, than 1,000,000, than 1,000,000,000. What does it mean to be 1,000,000,000 times more intelligent than a human? Dr. Yampolsky and Hunt wrote, we would quickly become like ants at its feet. Imagining humans can control super intelligent AI is a little like imagining that an Ant-Man control the outcome of an NFL football game being played around it. Well, it happens in Vegas every weekend now. Yeah. In his latest book, Dr. Yampolsky delves into the myriad ways that AI could dramatically reshape society, often veering away from human benefit. The core of its argument is that without incontrovertible proof of controllability, try that sentence 10 times.
No, thank you.
The development of AI should be approached with extreme caution, if not halted altogether. So there you go.
I agree.
Yeah, I can't disagree on that deal. Let's move on, Mal. You thought we were done with the bow chicka wow wow for today, but it turns out we're not. Let's just hit this real quick. Celebrity Big Brother's Lauren Simon had sex with a ghost. We're doing it with any inanimate object and paranormal thing today, evidently.
Well, she's not the first.
That's true. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. The key here, though, Mal, is that the ghost then dumped her afterwards, so we'll just turn that off. Yeah. The ghost evidently had no...
Ghosted her.
Yeah, it did ghost her. The ghost ghosted her. Yeah, I should probably give you one of these. There you go.
Thank you. Well, a little late, but yeah, okay. I know. I'll take it.
That's a different button bar about four down. I'm sorry.
At least it wasn't Timmy.
Yeah, that's... I'm sorry, that's... That's this one right here. Yeah. Wait, here we go. Then the ghost ghosted her.
Ta-da!
There you go. Real Housewives of Cheshire favorite Lauren Simon. Have you ever seen that show?
No, I haven't.
I haven't either.
Yeah, I'm sure it's entertaining.
I'm sure it is. It's a lot of yelling with British accents. confessed she once got frisky with a ghost, but her supernatural suitor then dumped her after two wild nights in the sack. They couldn't have been that wild.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a lover or leaver kind of ghost.
I wonder if he was like, yeah, you know, the first one wasn't too bad. I'm going back for seconds.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
She became needy.
You think that's what it was?
Probably.
Yeah, probably. Yeah. She probably wanted him to stay the night. He had other hauntings to go to. Mm-hmm. It was that type of deal. In 2020, the Real Housewives of Cheshire star, who is rumored to be the latest celebrity joining Celebrity Big Brother, shocked viewers when she paid a visit to a psychic. The 48-year-old star took her pal 49-year-old Nicole Seeley with the hopes of reaching out to her late father from beyond the grave. Wouldn't that be horrible if the ghost was a cousin? Ooh, I mean, you know, I mean, but her spooky visit soon took a turn for the worse when she recalled one embarrassing supernatural story instead. As she sat down with the medium, she asked for advice after she had one wild night of fun with a mystery being. How does she know it wasn't just her imagination?
I was going to say, or maybe she was just in a deep sleep. You know how like sometimes you wake up and you still feel like you're in the dream?
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. She explained, I have to admit something really weird. I've had sex with a ghost. As Nicole rolled her eyes, Lauren insisted. I can just see that in the background too. Nicole like, oh, really? I actually properly had sex, she says. I knew it wasn't a dirty dream because it was too real, like something was touching me. Or was it? Here's a picture of Lauren.
Okay.
Right there. Okay. Yeah. So, ghost has good taste. I'll give him that. She's a very comely woman. I don't know, unless he wasn't hitting the right spot. And
jeez. Please.
But this isn't the first time the star got intimate with a ghostly presence. Oh, so she's invited it in before. She went on, I've had that before where I feel like somebody's holding me down and I can't get up. So she's into ghost bondage. You know what I mean? Clearly confused by her bizarre confession, Nicole immediately said, that's weird, before the psychic disagreed, adding, that's not weird, that happens. Lauren continued, this particular ghost that came and had sex. Didn't make sense. That.
Well, I'm glad you had the and had sex.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, thank you very much. There you go, Mel. Hi-o. Because he could have just came and went, if you know what I mean.
Yep.
Yeah.
It's all about delivery.
That's right. It happened twice. It was a very bizarre feeling, she said, but he never came back. Does that mean I wasn't good in bed? Probably. The psychic explained that she had been ghosted by the mystical figure and reassured her it was normal. Do you think she was wearing this outfit, Mel?
Dang,
I know, right?
Her tatas are hanging out.
I know. She's got like a bikini top and a cover-up on in this deal. Are you surprised I know what a cover-up is?
I am.
I wear one to the beach quite often.
Gotcha.
Yeah. She also said that people can have a whispering from ghosts because their worlds are so closely intertwined. Lauren responded, I haven't had a whispering, but I've had full blown sex. Oh, so she just skips right to the home run.
Mm-hmm.
Mm.
No sweet talking there.
No, we just get right to it. I'm not going to be a ghostly booty call. I've got my self-respect to think of, she went on to say.
Yeah, but she didn't say no.
That's right. Right. It comes after the fiery redhead reportedly signed up to be the latest name to join the star-studded lineup of Celebrity Big Brother. The star-studded cast is set to walk onto the famous house March 4th. Well, that's already happened, so it's already started. The mom of two is rumored to join X Factor judge Louis Walsh, Kate Middleton's uncle Gary Goldsmith, Amir Khan's wife, is on there as well. I believe it's Fariel Makhdoum and Love Island winner Ekensu. Oh man, I can't pronounce that deal. We'll just say it that way. The Love Island winner.
Gotcha.
Yeah. Last year, Lauren was hospitalized for 3 weeks after her botched boob job went horribly wrong and her nipple nearly died. Maybe that's the ghost head. Yeah. Maybe the ghost got a look at that deal. I'm just saying. I mean, I'm not being superficial here, Mal.
No, not at all.
No. The TV star opened up about the terrible ordeal in an interview with The Sun on that. She recalled, "Well, my boobs, I had them made smaller, but with one of them, my nipple nearly died, so I was really poorly. I went for a week in the hospital and stayed for 3 weeks. So yeah, it was horrific, horrific. And mentally, I had to dig deep into meditation and believing that I'd be okay. I was really poorly. I wasn't so much my confidence, funnily enough," she went on to say. Fans will have to stay tuned to see if the Auburn beauty... Well, first she was right ahead. Now she's Auburn. I think one of them's a bottle job. We'll enter the TV show next week. Here's the deal, folks. I think she got herself a superficial ghost. I think he's worried about the boob job.
Stop.
I'm just saying. If I'm lying, I'm dying.
What if it's like a... Because she said she felt like she couldn't get up. She's being held down. What if it's a... incubus, because a succubus, isn't that for guys?
Yes, that's
like a woman for guys. So incubus would be for women.
Yeah.
So what if it was an incubus? So it was worse than just a ghost.
So it's David Draymond. I think you're right. Yeah. Yeah, I think you're right. It could be. Yeah, I'm sure. And if I were her, I'd probably... first of all, take some protection and use some protection. You know what I mean? Okay, that's enough with the... I know, people are like, lay off the rim shot. I haven't used it in weeks. That's what she said. You know what I mean? Let's move on now. We'll move on. A mystery of a bridge where dogs kill themselves and locals blame the ghost of a grieving widow. We're about to get morbid. We're going from somewhat sexy to morbid here. The Overton Bridge near Dumbarton has been the site of many unexplained dog deaths over the years, and some locals believe that the ghost of a grieving widow could be to blame. At first glance, Overton Bridge looks like any other beauty spots, but now it has a chilling mystery attached to it. The Victorian-era stone bridge in West Dumbartonshire in Scotland has now become known as Dog Suicide Bridge. That's not going to draw a lot of people to it.
No.
No.
That's sad.
It is. And a phenomenon that's baffled experts and locals for decades. For some unknown reason, as many as 600 canines have reportedly hurled themselves off the side of the Gothic structure. Some have survived the 50-foot drop and in several disturbing cases, even returned to the bridge for another attempt. Since the 1950s, there have been numerous reports of dogs mysteriously falling or jumping off the bridge, with one theory suggesting the ghost of a grieving widow could be to blame. One fortunate survivor was a 3-year-old spaniel named Cassie in 2014. Her shocked owner, Alice Trevorrow, told the Daily Record, "We had just got out the car and Cassie immediately made her way to the bridge. She added she loves her ball and is normally looking at me, waiting for it. So it was very uncharacteristic. She turned her head, looked up, and did this massive leap. I will never forget the awful whine she made as she jumped over. My son looked down, and all he could see was a dot. She managed to get herself up and met my son, collapsing when she saw him. How she survived that, I'll never know." The unexplained dog suicides has seen the bridge attract global attention as people can't figure out how and why they keep happening. There are a host of theories which include the dogs being confused and overwhelmed by the sounds from below. Others speculate that Overton House has a ghost, Lady Overton, who was sad after her husband died in 1908. There's talk of seeing a lady in white clothes walking around or a strange white shape in a window who some believe bewitches the pets and convinces them to jump to their death. That's horrible. In 2019, Bob and Melissa Hill, the owners of Overton House, reported that in their 17 years of residing at the house, they had witnessed a number of dogs become agitated and fall from the bridge. Bob Hill stated that the scent of mink, pine martens, and other animals agitated the dogs, resulting in their jump onto the bridge wall. Now signs have been put up in place urging dog owners to keep their pets on a lead if passing. Since the story emerged, internet sleuths have had a go at cracking the case. One said, granite has quartz. Quartz vibrates on a frequency that dogs can hear, and it can provoke a fight or flight response. Another wrote, my theory is the rocks that are shaped so that the wind could make a dog whistle. One added, not sure why so many jump over the side of the bridge, but I reckon some dogs may see a bird level with the bridge and go after it and jump over the bridge wall, not thinking there is a huge drop. For dogs, it may be some sort of occipital illusion. That's interesting as well.
Yeah.
Interesting and dangerous all at the same time. So I'm glad there's a sign there that warns people, but still, a lot of people don't pay attention to signs.
I wouldn't even bring my dog near it.
Yeah, I wouldn't either. Definitely. This next ghost story is absolutely horrifying, especially if you're a parent or an aunt or an uncle who absolutely cares about their young one. A horrified dad watches an eerie ghost arm reach into the son's bed on a baby monitor. William Grave had been checking his son Xander's baby monitor footage from their home in Sheffield when he noticed some strange activity had taken place at 6:50 a.m. A dad got a chill up his spine when he spotted what looked like a ghost arm reaching into his baby's cot on the baby monitor, which he believes could be his late mother moonlighting as a guardian angel. Even so, you see an arm reaching into the baby's... William Grave was checking the footage from his son's baby monitor on Tuesday, February 5th, when he noticed something odd happening at 6:50 a.m. Watching the clip on his phone, the dad from Sheffield was stunned to see what looked like a ghostly hand reaching into his nine-month-old's bed while he was sleeping. It was Xander's first night sleeping alone in his room. Okay, that's scary. And the footage caught on the baby monitor appears to pick up an eerie shadow appearing by Xander's cot. It seems to reach right through the bars before disappearing. While all this was happening, little Xander stayed fast asleep in his bed and didn't wake up. William spent the whole day trying to find a sensible explanation for the hand in his video, which at first he thought it might have been his wife, 35-year-old Gracie Grave. But when Grace saw the clip herself, she said the hand in the video wasn't wearing her Pandora bracelet that she always wears. That's when they realized something strange had happened. William, who admits he found the experience creepy, thinks the hand could belong to someone who used to live in their house. Or it could be his late mom, Willow Grave, looking out for his child as a guardian angel. The 38-year-old dad shared his spooky story online. He said that this was the first night the baby monitor had been set up, as it was the first time my little one spent a night in his room alone. As a parent, he went on to say, you just want to make sure that you've had a good night's sleep, which is why I checked the app in the morning. I noticed there was some activity at 6:50 a.m., and we didn't go into his room until 8:24 a.m., as he didn't wake up until then. In the video, I saw an arm reaching into the cot, and I looked, and it looked like it was going in to pick his dummy up. I think his doll.
Okay.
I was looking for a logical explanation behind it, the arm in the cot, and I must have annoyed my wife all day as I kept saying to her, it must have been you. That's got to be annoying for the wife if she's like, I wasn't awake. But she watched the footage and the arm didn't have her Pandora bracelet on, so we knew it wasn't her. I don't know what it was, but it was quite creepy. I don't think it was trying to hurt my baby, and it looked quite gentle as it was trying to pick his dummy up, his doll. William,
is it a doll or is it a pacifier?
Let me look at the picture. Let's see. Here's the... No, it's his doll. Here's the picture.
Gotcha.
Can you see it?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, because it looks like it's even blocking out one of the spindles in the crib.
Yeah, it's a solid image. It's a solid image in the arm, which is bizarre. Normally, apparitions aren't that solid. It's on a black and white camera. It's a really good image. I'll put it that way. You know what? I think I'll post this one as well. I'll post this video as well in the description of the program so you guys can see how good this image is. It's really, really good. So William has lived in this three-bed, semi-detached house since 2004, and he says that he and his family have seen strange things before. He even wrote a book called The Lady in the Bay Window, all about the weird happenings in his house. A car manufacturing boss was left baffled about spotting what he thinks could be a ghostly hand in his house, which some say might belong to the Lady in the Bay Window's spirit said to haunt his home. But his most recent experiences left him wondering if it could be his late mom keeping an eye on his son after she sadly lost her fight with cancer last year. William added, "Before I moved into this house, I had never experienced anything paranormal happening to me, but now I class myself as a skeptic with an open mind because I've seen things I can't explain in this house. The lady in the bay window has been seen 5 times in our house by 4 different people. When me and my wife went on our first date, she saw this lady in my house, and my brother, work, and school friend have seen her, and they all described her exactly the same. The arm in the cot could have potentially belonged to this woman. The first time I watched the footage, I thought it was a male with tattoos, and a lot of people say it is a female with long hair. It would also be lovely to think that it's a relative that has passed watching over our child. I lost my mom last May to cancer and have since written a book about our haunted house with all the proceeds going to Cavendish Cancer Care in Sheffield, who looked after my mom. It would be lovely to think that it was my mom, but I don't know who it is. I just know it's not me or my wife." After the eerie encounter, William shared the video on Facebook. Some viewers said they were terrified by the clip, while others believed it was a visit from a guardian angel. One user exclaimed, "This is terrifying." Another commented, "Oh my God, that's creepy. It seems to care for the baby. I'm thinking it's a past family member." A third user suggested, "Your baby has a guardian angel. I think it's beautiful." A fourth remarked, "Wow, this is unsettling." I don't know, Mally, what do you think?
I don't know. I mean, if it's there to watch over the child and, you know, comfort the child, I mean, I don't know. It's eerie. It's a little bit unsettling, but I don't know.
I'd like to try and spin it positive and think that maybe it is his mom.
Mm-hmm.
You know, especially since it was reaching for the, what looks like maybe a teddy bear or a doll. Like maybe it was trying to get it closer to the baby.
To suffocate it.
Oh, God, no. Oh, Mally, come on now. to suffocate it. Woo, way to put that positive spin on it now.
It would be nice it's a comforting thought if it was his deceased mother or the lady in the house, you know, that the child will always be watched over. I mean, that's comforting.
Yeah. I would like to think it's a positive thing. Let's hope.
Mm-hmm. I'm wondering, though, if it's going to continue or if they're just not going to have the child in that room anymore.
That's a good question. Yeah. Well, even so, I mean, the ghost is in the house. It's not like, you know, putting it in a different room is going to change anything.
Mm-hmm.
But maybe you pay attention to the app a little closer.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's for sure. Let's move on. We got Bigfoot stories today. This one is a mystery as a Bigfoot print is discovered by walkers along a stretch of a British coastal path beach. Now, here's the deal, Mel. You know, we've talked before about Bigfoot in America.
Mm-hmm.
There's a little bit of a mystery as to whether Bigfoot is extinct in Britain. And there's a bit of a controversy as well amongst cryptozoologists as to whether Bigfoot is extinct in Britain. And lately, there's been a few more sightings in Britain, which is kind of cool. The large footprint was found near the Southwest Coast Path over the weekend, leading to much speculation over who it might belong to, and it's not the first time such prints have been spotted. A baffled group of walkers were given a mysterious surprise while out on a popular stretch of UK coast path after they stumbled across what they think could be a Bigfoot footprint. The giant mark was discovered close to the Southwest Coast Path at Maidencombe in Torquay on Saturday, March 2nd, prompting many to question its origin. The group of walkers stumbled across the footprint during a day out with rock-solid coast steering. The intrigued group spotted the print in a muddy path that leads from the nearby woods. A member of the group told of how the prints started within the woods, traced the coast path for about 20 meters before twisting back toward the woodland. The group who discovered the prints say they were all weirded out while the photo doesn't have an exact measurement. One of the people who discovered the prints said the prints were big. I'm a size 11 and they were half as big again. So they were a size and a half bigger than a size 11. Clearly a bare foot, those prints were. Every print was perfect like the one in the photo. And actually, here's a picture, Mally, of what the print looks like.
Okay.
Yeah, so kind of impressive. I mean, it doesn't quite look like a human foot either, which is kind of interesting. It's not the first time that people in the southwest of England have claimed to see evidence of a Bigfoot creature. In 2006, sightings of a giant woodland creature persisted for about 6 weeks. 15 witnesses eventually came forward claiming they saw the Bigfoot animal. The creature was described as ape-like, standing roughly 5 feet tall, covered in brown fur. Notably, it was detailed to have a green face and not sport a tail. Well, thank God. On two occasions, the being was seen swinging from tree branches with tremendous agility. Well, back in 2022, there were claims of a Littlefoot spotted in Devon. John Downs, the director of North Devon's Center for Fortean Zoology, said, I have seen many similar reports of such creatures being seen in Devonshire woodland, and this one is a real cracker because it has so much separate and credible corroboration to it. In 2018, a man said he saw a creature that looked like Bigfoot while he was on a train from Exeter to Bristol. He noticed a large creature with long steps around a hedgerow. While there were regular claims of a massive hairy creature in North America, people have wondered if a similar creature could exist in Britain. Some researchers believe there may be Bigfoot-like creatures there, as old stories often talk about a large beast roaming the woods. So that's Bigfoot story number one that we have today. Bigfoot story number two just so happens that a man is hospitalized by Bigfoot after a mysterious beast throws a rock at his head.
Hmm.
Yeah. This man claims he was hospitalized by Bigfoot after he threw a rock at his head and even has a video purporting to show the moment that he was knocked to the ground by the elusive beast. The man, identified as Dan, submitted his account along with a video of the incident to the U.S.-based Smoky Sasquatch Stories and Survival channel on YouTube.
Are we sure that he wasn't just like near a meth lab in the middle of the forest?
You know, that's a good question.
And they're whipping rocks at him to make him go away.
Valid. Okay, that's valid. You never know. You never know. Dan's account was read out in a video on the channel. He said, so I was walking through the most densely wooded part of my property. Oh, he was on his own property.
So maybe it was a homeless person.
Homeless person or people built a meth lab on your property.
Mm-hmm.
When I started hearing some unusual noises about 50 feet to 70 feet in front of me, from the woods to my right, I couldn't see anything and I continued to walk closer to where it was coming from so I could see what all the commotion was about. Usually, I wouldn't think too much about the noises coming from the woods, but there was something off about them. It was these loud whack, whack, whack sounds that someone was chopping down a tree. And that's what got me concerned in the first place. I thought it might be a trespasser on my property. When he got closer, he realized that there was more volume than you would expect from a human lumberjack. It didn't sound like an axe hitting a tree, Dan said. It sounded like a full-blown tree hitting a tree. Oh, so that wood-on-wood noise.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. At this point, he decided to take out his phone and start recording. But as soon as he did, he claimed something smashed into his head. He captured the moment he was knocked down on camera, and when the camera hits the ground, a guttural roaring noise can be heard. Again, could still be a meth head.
Mm-hmm. I'm just saying.
I'm taking your side here, Mel. Something was hurled at my head almost immediately after I pressed record. It knocked me out, and I think it was a rock, Dan said. Next thing I know, I'm in the hospital. Apparently, I was out there for way too long, and my wife came looking for me. When she saw me unconscious with blood coming from my skull, she called an ambulance. Weird. I don't know what to think, Mally.
I think it was a person.
You think so?
Yeah, and they were trying to scare him away.
Well, I tell you what. This would be an unprecedented third video we put in the description of the program. There's a video attached to this article. Shall we post it?
Go for it.
All right, let's post it so people can look for themselves. And they can judge for themselves and see if Dan was truly knocked out by Sasquatch or a meth head in the woods.
I have a super duper quick story.
Sure,
go ahead. So our friend Jolie, we were in the mountains in West Virginia because we were going to this haunted tunnel, train tunnel. And she started, and Derek was with us, and he was walking ahead of us. And she started throwing like little stones kind of into the woods.
Yeah.
And it was freaking him out because he thought that there was somebody there because we were hearing chainsaws and other things going on. And we saw like these houses that had no roofs anymore and all this stuff. Cause I mean, we were out in the middle of nowhere.
Okay.
And so she was laughing and I was laughing because she kept throwing stuff into the woods, making him think that someone was there after us. He was so mad. I was dying though. Jolie is such a stinker.
Oh my God. That's horrible.
Yeah. Yeah.
Poor guy was on edge.
Yeah. Well, cause we were, I mean, hello, West Virginia mountains.
Oh my gosh.
Like 3 miles deep into the forest.
And you've got him sweating.
Yeah. Aww. Because we saw some weird things. Yeah. Out there. So he was like, oh my God, we're going to come across that. He was thinking like a meth lab or chainsaw wielding man about to cut us up. You name it.
You too.
Yep. She just kept whipping them into the woods.
I got to tell you, another quick story before we get to the last two stories of our supernatural news today. My cousin gets a hold of me on Facebook, and cousin on my, I won't even say what side of the family, cause I don't want to spoil the surprise. She likes to play April Fool's jokes on her husband every year. She's got her own business. And she listens to the show. So she'll appreciate the shout out. And she had a question for me. So she hits me up on Facebook. And the last couple of years, she's asked me for a good supernatural or paranormal joke, April Fool's joke for her husband. So one year we came up with a Sasquatch joke for her husband. Like an actual, you know, just to kind of mix them up and get them going. She wanted one for this year. I can't tell you on air what it is because it's so good, but she's going to get her husband good this year. And let's just say it involved one of the topics at the beginning of the program.
Ooh.
Yeah. Yeah. So yeah, I kind of enjoy it when, you know, when you're talking about, you know, little pranks with the mister in the woods, I'm not going to lie. I kind of enjoy the pranks, especially the supernatural paranormal pranks. I would never do it. Don't get me wrong. I would never do it on an investigation. I would never do it in that setting. But when my cousin gets a hold of me and says, hey, you got any good jokes or any good pranks? I'm like, oh, do I? The mind's always running, you know? So I get it. I mean, I get the mischievousness. I really do. With that, I don't want to blow the surprise, but let's just say he's going to be shitting himself. Just put it that. I'll tell you off air because it's a good one. You might even want to use it yourself. Just saying.
I'm not a practical prank. How do you say it?
Practical
I'm not a
junker.
Prankster. Yeah. I'm not. But I mean, our friend, she likes to do that kind of stuff. So I was laughing at it. But I personally, I don't play jokes like that.
No,
No, I think it's because people do it to me all the time.
Yeah.
And I'm not a fan of it, so I don't want to do it to anybody else.
Okay. No, I, you know, probably the one that got me the best, I was a teenager. And again, I'll make this real quick. Back when I was younger, I used to go up deer hunting every year with my grandpa, my uncle, my great uncle Don, my cousin Rob, who they've all passed away now, and my dad and I. And we'd go up to my uncle Don's cabin. My uncle Don had the funniest sense of humor. They all did. I mean, they all did. But my grandpa and my great uncle Don were kind of hard on you. You know, they're kind of hard on you. They rib you. They haze you a little bit. You know, but they do it with the idea that they're, you know, iron sharpens iron, that type of deal. You know, that's what they do in order to raise you. You know, and Rob would get on him to not be so hard on me. You know, and God love Rob. I miss him so much. But I was coming back from out of the woods. And we had a rabid skunk that year.
Ooh.
Yeah, and it was lingering around the cabin. And I shouldn't say this wasn't a cabin. This was a lake home.
Okay.
This was a two-story lake home. I mean, upstairs it was all, the entire upstairs attic was all beds. There was four beds on one side, four beds on the other. I mean, you could probably sleep 10 to 12 people in this lake.
Okay.
It was huge. And then there was one bedroom downstairs where the master bedroom where Uncle Don slept. And so Uncle Don sees this rabid skunk and he's like, I'm going to take care of that son of a bitch, you know? And he had like a little 22 that he kept for, you know, small game or whatever, or nuisances, or people who wanted to snoop around the lake home. So he's got this little 22 and he sees this little rabid skunk and it's coming out of the woods and it's foaming out of the mouth.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And we're grilling at the time. We're grilling dinner. And I look to my right and this thing is, it's like a horror movie. This thing is crawling slow and it's hissing and it's foaming at the mouth.
Mm-hmm.
I look at my grandfather. I'm like, what in the hell is that? And he goes, well, son of a bitch, that thing's rabid. And he goes in and he goes, Don, you got a visitor. And Don comes out and he goes, well, what the fuck is that thing? Pardon my language. And he goes, well, I'll teach that son of a bitch. And he runs into the cabin. He has this little 22 and he unloads the 22. And it's like a horror movie, Mel. He unloads the 22 on this rabid skunk. And as he's doing it, the thing is taking each bullet from the 22 right. And it keeps coming at us.
Ugh.
Right. So it's still crawling at us as it's taking each bullet. And Don's like, well, that son of a bitch. And he walks into the house and he pulls out the rifle. It's like a little rifle. Like it's a little, I don't know. It wasn't like very big. It was probably a 30-30. Pulls it out and boom, and he ends it.
Ew.
Right, he takes it out. Well, it's rabid, you know. It's not.
I know, but very long.
So boom, blows it away. Right, ends it. Ends the skunk. And I was like, geez. I was like, that was a little extreme. And he goes, well, you got to put it out of its misery, right? It's rabid.
Mm-hmm.
Plus, it's a danger to us. I'm like, okay. So. I mean, it was very cartoon-like. So I'm coming in from the deer stand the next day, and as I'm coming in, I look to my right, and on a stump right next to the trail, I see the skunk, and I jump about 10 feet, remembering this zombie skunk that was coming at me, right? That was rabid, that wouldn't die, and here it is, laying on this stump with its paws crossed over itself. With a smile.
Oh, jeez.
And its eyes closed. Like it was, you know, with its paws closed and its head on top of its paws. And a little smile on its face. My uncle had propped it up on a stump, smiling at me as I was coming back from...
Jeez Louise.
So basically, he did it as a prank, just to just to get me to jump as I was coming back from my deer stand. He just wanted to scare the kid. So, yeah. Little pranks you can play when, you know, the kid had the shit scared out of him the day before by the zombie skunk.
Well, now you have a wonderful memory.
I do, yeah. So there you go. So we got two stories left here. Supernatural news today. Speaking of real life things that could scare you, I'm going to show you a picture here, Mally. This guy calls himself a real life demon.
Ew.
He's in the Guinness Book of World Records for tattoos. He's got his eyes blacked out.
Yeah.
He's got his teeth blacked out. He's got tattoos all over his body. His name is Victor Hugo Peralta. He has the devil's 666 carved into his scalp. Calls himself a real life demon. He reveals his passion for hanging in midair by hooks that are pierced into his skin.
Oh, he's got those things on his back, doesn't he?
Yeah.
Those little rings, and then they hang.
Yep. Victor Hugo Peralta and his wife Gabriella are from Argentina, and he enjoys being suspended from a hook that's pierced into his skin, and they perform an act in front of a large crowd. A body modification fanatic dubbed a real life demon has described his passion for hanging in midair by hooks pierced through his skin. Victor Hugo Peralta, who has the devil 666 carved into his scalp alongside 400 pounds of metal horns implanted into his skull. Yes, you heard that right. 400 pounds worth of metal horns, or $400 worth, implanted into his skull, claims 95% of his body is inked. The 53-year-old from Argentina first got a tattoo at age 13, which was the word, cover your ears, kids at home, fuck, across his fingers on his left hand.
Oh, I'm sure his parents were so proud.
I'm sure they were quite proud. Now married to 52-year-old Gabriella, the pair have held the Guinness World Record for most body modifications as a married couple for 10 years. And now they enjoy a new passion. Victor and Gabriella have now traveled to more than 20 different countries to perform in front of large crowds, with each of them being suspended from a hook that's pierced into their skin. So it's not only the husband, it's a wife too.
I was wondering how they made their money, because I don't think he'd get a job, a desk job, with that look.
That's true.
Customer, you know, service. I'd like to return this vacuum, please. You what?
Never mind. I'll hang it on my back for you. You know what they say, Mally? A couple that hangs together bangs together. Just saying. Yeah. They say we were inspired to see that for centuries, many sought to reach a state where pain could take a back seat and become a state of satisfaction. Victor told What's the Jam? Must be a periodical, I don't know. What for others is painful became pleasurable for us, and we enjoyed it, fully demonstrating that we can overcome the pain that many people fear. Oh, dear God, you want to see a picture of both of them? Take a look at that.
Oh, my.
Yeah. What do you think?
At least they're color coordinated.
Yes, they are. What do you think? Homecoming king and queen?
Yeah.
Yeah. Pretty nice, huh? Further, Victor and Gabriella, both from Argentina, started their act in March of 2020 after watching a suspension show and feeling a passionate inspiration. With ropes, needles, and hooks, they began to fly through the air and reach a level of adrenaline that left them with an exhilarating hunger for more. Since then, they traveled to Uruguay, China, the United States, Spain, France, and Mexico with their act, but it's not come without its sacrifices, with injuries and scars quite common. Victor said on some occasions, get ready for this, Mal.
Oh, does something rip?
Yes.
Oh.
My skin has been torn from lifting three people at the same time.
And, oh.
Yeah. And others due to equipment failure. Gabriella had quite a big accident where she broke the joint part from her left arm and had to do physiotherapy due to suffering 14 fractures.
Good God.
Yeah.
No, thank you.
Victor said she had to stop doing shows for a year, and I suffered intense pain for quite a long time, but I didn't want to stop. We have many scars, and they're part of our lifestyle now. We love them, he says. But on a scale from 1 to 10, it's a 2 for pain and an 8 for happiness. Aw. The pair, who have done more than 150 shows, usually have to pierce their skin with up to 10 hooks at a time. And while it's an entertaining watch, it can sometimes get to be too much for the public. Victor explained the public is usually impressed and admires our work, but for other people, not so much. He says, I've seen people faint because of the shock from seeing us bleed. But the overall response is very good. The show is quite hectic, bordering on violence, but it still is funny and interactive with the audience. When they see our happy faces, they understand that not everyone feels the same about this act, and that other people's tastes shouldn't be demonized. He says, I've also used this passion to protest against discrimination in front of my country's Congress, too. My favorite part of the act is pulling, where ropes are hooked onto my body, and by pulling them, I left up Gabriella, who is suspended through hooks on her back. It's important to be responsible and keep in mind that it can fail. Oh, God, I hate to see it if it fails.
I mean, to each their own. If they're happy, go for it. You do you, boo, but no thank you.
You do you, boo. That's right. To each their own. To each their own.
Because there are lots of women out there that have had their earrings ripped out of their ears from like little children and stuff.
Yeah.
And ow. So.
Well, imagine that times 10 on your back.
Yeah.
Yeah. No thank you. And finally, Mally, the intriguing story of why scientists have discovered the reason why humans no longer have tails.
Okay.
I figured we end on a lighter note today. And I'm intrigued because I'd kind of like to have a tail every once in a while. I don't know about you. It would come in handy, but...
How would it come in handy?
Think about it. Think what monkeys do with their tails. You could
You want like a long, long tail, not like those little tails that some people actually have.
Yeah, that's what we're talking about. Humans once had long tails, evidently.
I'd probably sit on it.
I probably would, too. I probably would. It would get in the way, I'm sure. But yeah, I mean, you know, you could hang from trees with it.
I'd rather sit on a couch. Thank you.
Yeah, well, me too.
Hang from trees.
And, you know, lots of uses for long tails. It might be hard to imagine, but many millions of years ago, our ancestors had long tails just like monkeys do today. I know I'm going to get a lot of emails about this. Mm-hmm. I can feel it. Having a long tail can be a useful thing, especially if you spend a lot of your time climbing trees, balancing on branches, or swinging through the canopy. I don't see a lot of humans doing this.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which is why most tree-dwelling mammals have them. The same was once true of humans, or at least our distant ancestors 25 million years ago. Remarkably, while we have obviously lost our long monkey-like tails, modern humans do still have some semblance of a tail in the form of the coccyx, more commonly referred to as the tailbone. Our tail is most evident for a period of around 4 weeks while we are still an embryo, and while it no longer helps us balance, it does serve as an attachment point for muscles at the base of the spine. Exactly which genetic mutation was responsible for losing our original tail millions of years ago has long remained something of a scientific mystery. But now a new study has finally identified the culprit, a DNA mutation located in the gene TBXT, which is typically associated with tail length in mammals. Mutations like this have often been thought to be of limited consequence in evolution, evolutionary biologist Kirk Lohmuller told Live Science. Here, the authors show that such a mutation has had a profound impact on our species. It is exciting to think of how many other complex mutations like this could have generated important traits throughout human evolution. So there you go, Mally. That is your answer as to why we don't have long tails.
Okay. Thank you, mutations.
25 million years ago, we blew it.
I'm okay with that.
You're all right with it?
Mm-hmm.
Just think, you wouldn't have to hold on to a purse. You'd have a tail to do it.
I think it just would annoy me.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
True. You can walk
just something else in the way.
You can walk the dog with a tail. Hold on to a leash. Just saying.
What if your tail was limp? That would just suck.
I've been accused of that more than one time. Just saying. Anywho, with that, Mally, tell us what you have going on.
Well, people can check out ParanormalGirl.com. And also, you can see me on Strange Evidence, on the Discovery Channel, the Max Channel, and I think the Science Channel.
That's right. Strange Evidence, folks, if you haven't checked it out yet, you can see it on demand on Max. We have a link in the description of this program on how you can get Max. Check it out, by the way, on demand. They run. What do you call them? Marathons there, Mally. They call them marathons on Science Channel quite often. And I know myself and intern Yoko like to sit around and watch the marathons when you're on. And we wave to you. You never wave back. I don't know why, but you never
you
wave back.
You can check
back.
Out my different hairstyles because I've filmed, I think, for like 3 years.
Yeah.
So just watch me evolve.
That's right. Watch me evolve. Watch Mally evolve. Take a shot for every different hairstyle. So, yeah. So Mally's on Strange Evidence on the Science Channel. Also, check it out on demand on Max. So there you go. Myself, I'll be at KNSI Radio this weekend. KNSIRadio.com on Saturday from 7 to 9 a.m. Central Time. Listen to me blabber on about weather and sports and all kinds of fun stuff. So that's going on Saturday. Also, a reminder, go to darknessradioshow.com to the events section. Get your tickets for the Palmer House Hotel coming up in May. Tickets are going quickly. Hotel spots are going quickly as well. Help support the animals at the Eagle's Nest Shelter. And also, go to potographsforpooches.com. If you don't plan on coming out for the events, at least go to potographsforpooches.com. Buy some swag. And there's some swag there from Tim Miley and Murray. And Murray's got his little paw autograph that Aww. you can buy some swag there and help support the local shelters in your area. So at least help out the animals that way is what we ask here at Darkness Radio. So let's see here. Tomorrow on the big show. Oh, we got a good one tomorrow on the big show, Mal. Tomorrow on the big show, we have a gentleman on by the name of Ray Catania. Or Catania. Man, we're going to get into it tomorrow. Ray has actually had a near-death experience. He is an author, metaphysical teacher, and theorist, and coach. He survived a near-death experience. He's dedicated his life to helping others achieve their full potential. He is a unique approach, and he combines scientific theories with his own life experiences to reveal how anyone can harness the power of the mind and create their own reality and become limitless. We're going to talk to him about what he saw on the other side. We're going to talk to him about, he has a book called The Atheist in the Afterlife out there. And he also has a book called You Are Still Alive, Now Act Like It. So we're going to talk to him a little bit about how to capture the most in this life after he has seen the other side and come back.
Okay.
Yeah. So a little bit different program tomorrow. I'm going to dig inside this guy's head a little bit tomorrow. So that's what we're doing with Ray Catania tomorrow. Interesting program.
Very cool.
Yeah. So that's what we have on tap for tomorrow here on Darkness Radio. So for Mally Fox, I'm Tim Dennis. Thank you so much for continuing to be a great listener of this program. We encourage you to send in your parashare experiences, tim@darknessradio.com. And if you want to send in a voice note, you just go to darknessradioshow.com, click on that blue button, send your 2-minute voice note in. If you need more time, click on the blue button. We'll stitch them together and do that as well. We'll see you tomorrow for Ray Catania and discovering your limitless potential, as well as his near-death experience. We'll see you tomorrow right here on the best in paranormal programming, Darkness Radio.